Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode may contain content not suitable for some audiences, including crimes against children, mentions of suicide, descriptions of a graphic nature, and adult language at times. Listener discretion is advised.
On a cold and foggy evening on the 23rd of December 1992, 14-year-old Joanna Young left her home in Wotton, Norfolk, never to be seen again, at least not alive. 3 days later, Joanna's body was discovered in a water-filled marl pit. Despite a massive investigation and several arrests, nobody has ever been charged with her murder. You are listening to True Crime Britain. Join me, Rhiannon, each Wednesday as I tell the solved and unsolved stories of some of the most disturbing, mysterious, and heartbreaking crimes committed throughout the United Kingdom. Welcome to this week's episode. Two days before Christmas, Wednesday the 23rd of December 1992, Joanna was at home with her family in Wotton. Her younger brother Daniel had some issues with a computer game and was complaining to his parents. The siblings' parents, Carol and Robert, were doing their best to calm him down when Joanna asked if it would be okay for her to go out. Her mother said it was okay, and her father added that she should not come back too late. So Joanna left, wearing her purple anorak, and walked down Merton Road towards the High Street. As their daughter stepped out into the dark and cold winter evening, Carol and Robert thought she was heading to her boyfriend Ryan's house. He was 3 years Joanna's senior, and the two had been together for 6 months. To her parents, it had seemed Joanna was very keen on Ryan, often leaving her homework undone so she could go and meet up with him as he clocked off from work. However, what Carol and Robert did not know was that just 2 days earlier, Ryan had informed Joanna that he wanted to end their relationship. It is still possible that Joanna was heading to Ryan's that night, Maybe she wanted to talk with him. Joanna was seen by a friend on Watton High Street in the town centre at around 8:30 p.m. But after that, we do not know where the 14-year-old went. When Joanna did not return home later that evening, Carol and Robert assumed that she was with Ryan or her friends and thought she would come back soon enough. So off they went to bed. It was not until Joanna's alarm kept ringing the following morning and she didn't turn it off that her parents realized that she had still not returned. As Robert checked Joanna's bedroom, he saw her bed unused and her newspaper bag was still hanging on the door, meaning she had not left for her paper round either. Soon after this discovery, Joanna was reported missing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Three days after her disappearance, Joanna's shoes were found neatly side by side on the verge of an unmade lane called Gilman's Drift by a dog walker who reported the find to Watton police. The area was searched and more pieces of clothing were found before finally they spotted Joanna floating face down in the water of an old clay pit. Joanna's body was full of scratches and her clothes had been partially removed. Yet, police said there was no evidence of a sexual motive. The autopsy revealed she had died from drowning and a fractured skull, but due to the cold weather, they couldn't ascertain a time of death. The most likely scenario was that something had happened, perhaps even an accident, that had fractured Joanna's skull, and she had then been dragged into the 7-foot-deep water, still alive, where she had then drowned. Even though Joanna was found half-naked, there were no signs of rape, and the police had no idea of the motives, no leads, and no obvious suspects. The Gilman's Drift area was searched again, but nothing was found, not even Joanna's blue jeans that were still missing. Of course, the police took a closer look at Ryan. After all, it did seem like Joanna had been wandering in the direction of his home that night. Ryan was questioned twice for over 9 hours, and his shoes were compared to the footprints found at the mud at the crime scene. But nothing matched, and Ryan's friends had also confirmed that he had been playing snooker with them around the time Joanna was murdered. Curiously, 10 days into the investigation, Joanna's missing jeans turned up on a hedge in Gilman's Drift. Unfortunately, no clues were found as to who had left them there. In addition, not long after Joanna was found in the pit, a cryptic letter was sent to the Eastern Daily Press. It featured a drawing of a girl, a motorcycle, and a message saying, "Griston, Watton, 23rd of the 12th, 9 p.m. It is unknown how and if this letter is related to Joanna's case, but police nevertheless appealed to the public asking if anyone recognised the writing. At this point, the police believed they had figured out exactly what had happened to Joanna. Because there was no evidence of sexual assault or her clothes being ripped off, it is thought that Joanna had consented to have sex with someone that night. Perhaps she had gone to the other person's home or car, and as she was undressing, something went wrong. She might have fallen, or she might have changed her mind and somebody had gotten angry and pushed her. Nevertheless, something had happened, and Joanna had hit her head and fractured her skull. According to a police pathologist, the injury to Joanna's head was caused by her falling rather than somebody hitting her. Also, Joanna's skull was found to be unusually thin. So, it is possible that after Joanna was knocked unconscious and possibly laid there, blood seeping from her head, that whoever was with her had thought they had killed the 14-year-old. To conceal their crime, they had then carried her body up to the pit with another person's help based on the footprints found in the mud. And the sad thing is that if this theory is correct, nobody actually wanted Joanna to die. They just thought she had died after hurting her head so badly and unknowingly drowned her in an effort to save themselves from the consequences. It has been reported that the police did have a suspect at this point, but there was not enough evidence to press charges, and the boy himself was not talking. This person had allegedly disappeared a few days after Christmas and had scratches on his face. He was eventually arrested again, but was later released without charge as the case against him was not strong enough. Today, over three decades later, the situation remains the same. Nobody has ever been charged in connection with Joanna's death. Her parents have learned to live with their loss, but Carol and Robert are still disappointed every time an appeal does not bring any new information or answers as to what happened to their daughter all those years ago. They continue to wait for closure and justice for Joanna.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of True Crime Britain. For sources and photos relating to today's case, or to find out how you can access things like ad-free and bonus episodes, you can visit www.truecrimebritain.com, where you'll find more information.
Great Britain, a kingdom that unites all four nations, England, Ireland, Scotland, and of course, my homeland, Wales. With a population of almost 70 million people, a rich cultural history, more than 1,200 years of constitutional monarchy, and arguably the nicest cup of tea in the world, it's easy to see what makes Britain so great. As the gateway to Europe, it draws more than 40 million visitors a year from across the globe. each one hoping to experience what makes Britain so unique. But behind the pomp and the circumstance and the football greats, Britain has seen serious crime increase year after year, with incidents becoming even darker and more sinister. When a Metropolitan Police officer arrested a 33-year-old female for breaching COVID-19 regulations, he wasn't acting in the public's best interest, but as a predator hunting for prey. A 24-year-old man collides with a tree in the Welsh Valleys in the dark of night and is witnessed walking away from the vehicle, alive. After that, he mysteriously vanishes. When an innocent toddler is taken from his mother's side in a shopping mall and the horror of his final moments are revealed. Think serious crime doesn't happen where you are? Think again. True Crime Britain features some of the most disturbing, heartbreaking, and mysterious crimes committed in the United Kingdom. Crimes that have shocked and shaped us as a nation and beyond. Crimes where we may not always recall the specifics, but we will always remember the victims. And along the way, you'll learn about Great Britain itself, the towns and boroughs that make up its vast landscape, as we look inside the mind of predators, their prey, and their hunting grounds. New episodes are released every Wednesday. You can subscribe now so you never miss an episode by simply searching for True Crime Britain on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or just visit www.truecrimebritain.com. And remember, wherever you are, please stay safe.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.